I think we're all set now. Can you hear me? Okay. Now, it is a privilege to be here this morning. And I do have to say that I love the ministry of this church very, very much.
Not on? Well, the light's on. I think I'm connecting now. But I just want to say how much Freedom and I appreciate the ministry of this church. Pastor Chris Colley particularly has been a source of strength when we as pastors had went through a very difficult time. But Pastor Chris Colley and his family have been such a blessing to us. And so I count it a wonderful privilege to be here this morning. And thank you, Pastor John and Sister Pat, of having us here this morning just to share the Word of God with you. And I pray that the Word I share with you will be a great blessing to you. And so if you've got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Exodus this morning. Exodus 30. And we're beginning to read from verse 22. Okay. Okay, Exodus 30. I'm beginning to read from verse 22. And we'll read through to verse 33. It's a rather lengthy scripture to read here this morning, but I have a purpose in reading it so that I can share the word that is here, and I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. First of all, I need to say to you that as Pentecostal people, one of the things that we value or should value very much is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I praise God for saving my soul, but I do appreciate the night when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I value very much the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon one's life. And so this morning I do hope and pray that the word that I share with you, while it may be a little different in style, that'll be a blessing to you. So we begin to read here. In verse 22, "Moreover, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calabas, 250 shekels, and cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and also of olive oil a hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compounded after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick, and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, with all his vessels, and the laver, and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever touches them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout all your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or Whosoever put any of it upon a stranger shall even be cut off from his people. Let's ask God's blessing upon this reading this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to be in your divine presence. And now, dear Lord, we ask that you'll bless this word this morning. And Holy Spirit, that you'll take hold of this word and administer it to thy people today by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of my message this morning, The Preciousness of the Holy Anointing. The Preciousness of the Holy Anointing. So this morning I just wish to take the ingredients of that are mentioned here in this passage concerning the Holy Anointing Oil that relates and relate each spice as an aspect of the very life and ministry of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. So what I'm doing this morning, I'm just going to take one of these spices, actually being holy myrrh, or pure myrrh. The others, because this is quite extensive, and I just want to share on the purity and the beauty of this resin called pure myrrh. And so in doing so, I want to just be able to touch on it in such a way that it will relate to the life and ministry of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Because after all, our Lord was anointed with the Holy Spirit without measure. We receive a measure of it, but Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, and which we are aware of. So first we see God saying unto Moses, take unto thyself principal spices of pure myrrh and sweet cinnamon and sweet calamus and cassia and also olive oil. So there are five spices here that actually make up the composition of this holy anointing oil. And as we have read it, and we see so clearly here that when that anointing oil was administered to the tabernacle and all its furniture, those things then were set apart for a holy use. We too, as children of God, as we are touched by the power of the Holy Ghost, we should live a holy and sanctified life unto our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So notice that God says unto Moses, take principal spices. The word principal here simply means the very best. The very best. Take unto thyself principal spices. And so God requires the very best of your life and mine. Anything apart from the very best, God is not satisfied. For he desires us to be holy vessels. And in doing so, the scripture does tell us in 2 Timothy 2:21 that we are to be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and fit for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. That's the desire of our Heavenly Father, that we, as being touched by the Lord and anointed by the Holy Spirit, that we should be sanctified vessels. Sanctified means to be holy, set apart unto God's use, as we see it here. Now let us look at this first principal spice then, pure myrrh. Myrrh in its raw state is a resin that comes from a low, thorny and rugged tree growing in Arabia desert. It has no desired features as a tree, but in its season it produces this most valuable pure myrrh. So we see here some aspects of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. For in Isaiah 53 and verse 2, it declares that Jesus, as he hung on the cross for you and me, had no form, meaning that he was unrecognizable as he hung on the cross for you and me. In Isaiah 52 verse 14 it says that his face was marred more than any man, as even had no form in regards to the sons of men. And in Isaiah 53 2 it also says he has no comeliness, and when we shall see him there is no desire that we look upon his glorious face. So Jesus, as he hung on the cross for us, was unrecognizable, because as they pierced him with the spears and so on, and put that thorny crown upon his head, and the blood poured down his face, he was unrecognizable as a person as he hung on the cross. Now this pure myrrh comes from a tree that has no beauty about it in any shape or form. It's rugged, it's rough looking, but in its season, it produces the most valuable spice that is required of the people who make up special smelling senses and so on. But let me explain how it is produced. The gatherers of myrrh know the very season when this tree, only once a year, produces this pure resin, this pure myrrh. And so they who gather it know the very season when this tree itself produces this resin. And what happens in its season, this tree, the resin so builds up within it that the resin is forced out from the bark. The bark breaks open and the resin flows out spontaneously. And the gatherers gather it and they take it to the market. And they know, because they have gathered in the right season, that they'll get the best price for this resin. So that is how it is produced. And so they gather it in its season. Let me say to you, I love being in a meeting like this morning, when there is a time of praise and worship. Because the scripture tells us very clearly, in Psalm 22 and verse 3, God inhabiteth the praises of his people. Literally comes down and sits in the midst of us. And so this myrrh flows out spontaneously from this tree. And so, brother and sister, it in times of worship that the Holy Spirit has opportunity to minister to your heart and to mine, because in the aspect and in the atmosphere of pure worship to God, the anointing of the Spirit begins to flow. It flows spontaneously, as this tree does. And that's beautiful, to be sitting in the presence of God, where the Holy Spirit is moving, as he has today, and touched each one of our hearts. We will go home from this meeting this morning knowing that God has touched us by his Spirit. Amen. We also see that God himself warns Moses of that which is inferior, as we read it here in Exodus 30, reading verses 31 to 33. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall not be poured, neither shalt thou make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto me. Whosoever compoundeth anything like it, Or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, they shall be cut off from their people. Now you can see here, there are times when people, when unlearned men who desired to gather this resin from this tree, they're unlearned because they haven't come to know the times of the season when this tree produces the best myrrh. And so what they do, they want to be able to get the resin and hope that eventually they'll be able to sell it. So what they do, they take a sharp knife and they literally cut back the bark and they literally force out the resin. So they gathered it to themselves. They take it to the market, hoping they'll get a good price for it. But because it's inferior, it has no value. Can I say to you this morning, as we read this scripture here, that God gives a warning that this holy anointing oil is holy. And none of it was to put upon the human flesh. In fact, Aaron and his sons, as they were anointed by this holy anointing oil, the anointing was upon their holy garments, not upon their flesh. For God said that this anointing shall not touch man's flesh. And any who would try to make a copy of it, or a composition of like it, that was not in regards to what God required, they were to be cut off from their people. Now you can see by this that God was very strict in regards to the holy anointing oil and its composition. And one of the things that we as Pentecostal believers have to be very careful of, that we do not come into the house of the Lord in a situation where we are not pure, where we come into a position where we're not holy before God. And therefore, we come into God's presence and we present something that is inferior. And I've been in Pentecostal circles for many, many years. And I have to say, sometimes I've sat in some church, Pentecostal churches, and been greatly troubled because men have endeavored to try and produce something of the Holy Ghost, trying to present some gifts that they once had, but now they've lost the power of it. And now they've become inferior. Their ministry is inferior. And they of us that are sensitive to the power of the Holy Ghost, you become sensitive that something is just not quite right. I thank God that I was brought up under a wonderful man of God, the late Pastor Greenwood. A mighty man of God. So much so that at times, when the Holy Spirit was moving, if somebody stepped out of line in regards to endeavouring to speak in tongues or bring a message of some sort that was unsanctified, he would tell them so. Now, you probably wouldn't do it today. But that happened in my day. It happened when the pastor said, "Sorry, brother, sit down. You're out of order." And that kept us in such a holy place. You would not dare come into the house of the Lord if you had an argument with your wife without fixing it. We were taught to appreciate the fear of God. Not to fear God, but to reverently respect Him for who He is. Hallelujah. And so we see here that God gives a warning to those who endeavour to produce something that is inferior. And I pray that we might value more than ever before the glorious, wonderful anointing of the Holy Spirit. So God so desires us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and He so appreciates the anointing that we receive from the Holy One. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, it tells us that we receive an anointing from the Holy One. As it says here, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I thank God that the Holy Spirit has come to teach us, to guide us in all ways. The Holy Spirit has come to take the things of me of Christ and reveal them and to you and me. And so it's the Holy Spirit that has come into our hearts and lives. But you have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. The word unction here simply means anointing. And in the Greek, it's the word Christmas. Christmas, yes. Meaning smearing on with sweet ointment. That's what how the holy anointing comes. It comes with the presence of Jesus. I've had a number of people come into my home seeking for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I simply say to them, first, how much do you love Jesus? How much do you really love Jesus? If you really love him with all your heart, you are prepared to live a life that is pleasing in his sight. If you really love him, just kneel down and begin to tell him so. Make love to Jesus. Really open your heart. Open yourself to the Lord and let him come into your heart and into your life. And as they've been doing so, as they've been worshipping Jesus, not me, but worshipping Jesus in the midst, the Holy Spirit has quietly come into the house there and ministered to them. And they've been beautifully swept in with the blessing of God, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so it's wonderful to receive this unction, this anointing of the Holy Ghost. A situation where you sense God's presence just flowing over you. As it mentions here, Christmas, as smearing with sweet ointment. A composition consistency, I should say, like that of honey. So when it was poured out, it's just slowly flowed over the priest and over those who were receiving it. Have you ever been in the presence of the Lord like that? Have you been sitting in his presence? You've just felt the presence of Christ. You've felt the anointing flowing down over you. I'm not ashamed to say I get very emotionally moved at times when the Holy Spirit is just flowing over me, touching me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. And sometimes while I'm in the kitchen helping my beloved wife, and I just stand there sometimes as all of a sudden the Lord ministers a word to me, and all of a sudden the anointing comes upon me. Tears flow down my face as I become aware of the preciousness of Jesus Christ. Smeared with sweet ointment. Hallelujah. The Holy One being the Holy Spirit himself, whom God the Father sent into the world, particularly for the church of Jesus Christ, his body, and bringing such blessings of his grace and his mercies and his gifts upon us, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said also in John 14 and verse 16 and 17, I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. The comforter here, of course, is that Greek word parakletos. Hallelujah. This word means a lot to me because it's meaning one that comes alongside of you. And I appreciate the glorious presence of the Holy Spirit in my life on a daily basis. I exercise the presence of God of a morning. I exercise the presence of God at night because I appreciate the parakletos, the power of the Holy Ghost, comes alongside of you and I. I hope you appreciate that. Hallelujah. And so Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus was able to say to his disciples, I've been walking with you for just over 3 years, and I've been with you all this time. I've been teaching you, instructing you, but I'm going away unto the Father. But I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I will send the Holy Spirit unto you, that he may abide with you forever. Praise his holy name. And we come to know and experience the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. When I first got saved, I became aware that the Holy Spirit was with me as I knelt at that altar with tears rushing down my face. A young man of 16 years of age, being totally rejected of my father, being rejected of many. And yet when I let melt at the bottom of that, at that altar there, as I knelt there broken before God, the tears running down my face, aware that the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. Amen. Hallelujah. For when the Holy Spirit, he comes to convict the sinner of righteousness and judgment to come. And so I thank God that he's not only with us, but he also dwells in us. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Another aspect of the pure myrrh was its use in embalming the dead bodies, as seen in John chapter 19 and verses 38 to 40, which says, And after this Joseph Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because of the fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. And he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, who at the first came to Jesus by night. And they brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about the measure of 100 pounds weight. So here we see this pure myrrh, this spice now, along with aloes and other spices, which the ladies also brought on one occasion, to anoint the body of Jesus, to anoint his body to bury him. And so we see here that this is so in regards this myrrh, because the tree itself had nothing that you could look upon or admire it, but what came from it was most precious indeed. And so then they took the body of Jesus and they wound it in linen clothes with the spices, and as the manner of the Jews was to burying. What then is the lesson that we learn here about pure myrrh? The anointing of the Holy Spirit flows freely and spontaneously from those things that are not of the flesh. The Holy Spirit flows freely from a dedicated life. The Holy Spirit flows freely, spontaneously, from a life that is pure. But we need to come into a position before that can really take place, that we are dead to the things of the flesh. That's what I'm trying to say to you this morning. That this myrrh is a type of that which is used for burying the dead. And so we, before we can appreciate the mighty power of the Holy Ghost in our lives, we too need to die. We need to die to the things of the flesh. As the Apostle John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the things that are in the world are the things of the flesh, and the things of the mind, and so on. These are not of the Father, but they are of the world. But they that do the will of God shall abide forever. And so, brother and sister, many times the things of the flesh hinder the mighty, spontaneous flow of the Holy Ghost upon one's life. You might have received the gift of the Holy Ghost 20, 30, 40 years ago. But is it flowing today? Have you allowed things of the flesh? Have you allowed carnal things to take its place? And so that there's a blockage somewhere where the Spirit of God no longer is moving through you and showing forth its power and demonstrating power through your life. These are the things we need to be very careful of. As the Scripture does tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 to 29, that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised has God chosen, yes, and things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. Oh, hallelujah. I love the freedom and the blessing of the anointing to you. I thank God that is so gracious to us, so desirous to use each every one of us with such a blessing of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3:3 is a little word here. It says, "For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." You are dead. But your life is hid in Christ, in God. Hallelujah. So learning to separate oneself from the things of the flesh and to be anointed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we realize that we are no longer our own, but we are bought with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are His. Praise his holy name. For you are dead and your life is hid in Christ in God. This is a place of intimacy. This is a very close place where you, with Christ, are hidden in the beautiful harmony and closeness as Jesus has with the Father, so you have with Jesus also. Because you have recognized yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, God by the Holy Ghost takes you, and you are hidden in Christ. As Christ is united continually with the Father, you have a union now that is beautiful, because you are dead to the things of the world, but now you are alive unto God through Jesus Christ. And God by the Holy Ghost has taken you as a vessel and hidden you in a place of security and a place of great blessing with God the Father. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. So it's humility that fosters and enriches the true flow of the true anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let me read it again. It's humility that fosters and enriches the true flow of the true anointing of the Holy Spirit in one's life, as seen in James 4:10, which says, "Humble yourself therefore in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." The thing that God requires of all of us is humility, to walk in humility, to live in humility. As this scripture says, "Humble yourself therefore in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Also in 1 Peter 5:5 it says, "For us to be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." The word clothed here in the Greek simply means to be to bind one's self. So the word here to be clothed means to bind oneself with, to bind oneself, to commit oneself to a life of humility. Clothed with it. Clothed with it. The anointing that clothes you and the anointing that comes as a result. This being clothed upon is an action of putting something in a place of humility. It's an action of putting on something, in this case, humility. In Romans 13 and verse 14 says, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Hallelujah. So Romans 13, 14 says, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the desire thereof." So Jesus being our perfect example of humility means that we are to put on Jesus, means to also to totally imitate him in all our lives, in all our living, in everything we do. To put on Christ simply means that we are imitating him, that we live as he lives. We live carefully, circumspectly before others, that we walk very carefully so that we do not bring anything upon ourselves that will mar the blessing of God upon our lives. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it on a regular basis. When you get up in the morning, say, "Lord, I want to be clothed with your humility. I want to be touched with your blessing today." And God will bless you. God will bless you. Because that's the desire of Jesus' heart, that you walk in humility before him. And as he is in a perfect example, that he walked always in humility, he desires that we should do the same. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. The inferior anointing is that which appears to be of God, but is of the carnal mind, because the vessel is unsanctified through deceitful lust. How then does this holy anointing benefit each one of us as we receive the blessing of God? How then does this holy anointing benefit not only the true believer, but the body of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ? First, the true believer is edified within themselves, knowing that they are a vessel and are available to be always used for the Master's use. We are quite aware, as Paul says, if any man or woman speaketh in an unknown tongue, they are edified. They speak not unto man, but they speak unto God. And so we appreciate the ministry of the Holy Spirit as he ministers in and through our lives, and we are edified as we allow the gifts of tongues and so on and the other gifts to flow through our lives. How then does this holy anointing benefit not only the true believer, but the body of Christ? First, the true believer is edified, as I've just said, and the church itself receives as much blessing as we are available to God for his use. Secondly, the body of Christ at a whole is inspired by experiencing great blessing of Jesus as he is glorified in the midst of the church. This morning, while we as believers have been worshipping the Lord, Christ has been glorified. Amen. John says, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he says, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will not speak of himself. Holy Spirit has not come to glorify himself. The Holy Spirit has come only to glorify our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. For John says, when he comes, I will glorify him. Then he goes on, he says, that I, the Holy Spirit, I will show you things to come. I will bless you, and I'll make you to understand the things that be of Christ. Praise his holy name. May we all avail ourselves today to the blessing of the true anointing of the Holy Spirit as Jesus said in John chapter 7 and verse 38, where he says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful verse. And if you can remember the day when you were kneeling in God's presence and the river of God began to flow. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know how long I was on my knees, but the longer I stayed there, the better it felt. As the river was flowing in and out of my life. Yes, tears flowing, but it being in place with the sweet anointing of his presence. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Have you been filled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Do you know the anointing of God today upon your life? It's just like David said when he said, anoint me, Lord, with fresh oil. Hallelujah. You know, if you keep oil for a long enough time, it deteriorates in its use and so on. It can even go sour. But the holy anointing of God that is pure, because it flows from the pure myrrh, because it's true, because it's holy, it will always be beneficial to the true believer of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so, brother and sister, this morning, I want you to be encouraged with the realization that God wants to anoint you afresh with fresh oil today. Amen. Maybe you've a little bit dried up in your Christian experience. Maybe the flow of the Spirit is not as real as it used to be. And somehow or other, you are not sure just where you're going. You're not sure just where your experience lies. But brother and sister, let me go sukur and abasiya. He that is in the midst of you is holy. Therefore, he that is in the midst of thee desires that you shall be holy, even as he is holy, says the Lord of God Almighty. Yabosukoi. The Lord that is in the midst of thee is holy. He that is in the midst of thee is mighty. And he desires that you may receive a fresh touch of the holy anointing oil today. Hallelujah. The other principal spices mentioned here in this particular scripture, in Exodus 30, they also compound together to make up the holy anointing oil. And they also have their particular characteristics that relate to the life and ministry of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. I'm not going to share what they all are, but let me just quickly say what they represent here this morning. Number two, of course, the first one is the pure myrrh, and then secondly is the sweet cinnamon. This represents the sacrificial life of one who has committed their lives wholly to Christ. Sweet cinnamon represents the sacrificial life of one totally committed wholly to Christ. Number three is calamus. It represents Christ as the root and the offspring of David and the church, his garden, into which Christ comes to take of its pleasant fruits. Number four is cassia. It represents a life hidden in Christ and the sincerity of a true heart. And number five is olive oil. It represents God's dealings with us as Gentiles who were of the wild olive tree, and the crushing of the rebellious human spirit, separating us and sanctifying us as vessels unto his service. We are quite aware, as in Romans chapter 11, it speaks about the Jewish nation being cut out of the true vine for a little season. But that was for the opportunity, as Paul ministers in that case, for us as Gentiles to be grafted in. The Jewish nation were cut out for a little season that we might have the benefit as Gentiles to be grafted in. For we were not the people of God, but praise God, we are the people of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have been grafted in today into the true vine, even Jesus Christ the Lord. And we are aware that Paul goes on to say that God will graft the nation back in again. Hallelujah. And God is doing that now in Israel at this very, very moment. God is raising up Jewish people who are beginning to accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. And so the olive oil represents God's dealings with us as Gentiles who were of the wild olive tree, and the crushing of the rebellious human spirit, separating us and sanctifying us to be vessels unto his service. Do you desire a fresh touch of the holy anointing spirit of God today, this morning particularly? If so, will you surrender your life afresh to him and allow the Holy Spirit to come again and touch your life, revive and quicken you, that again you'll be revived by the anointing of his Holy Spirit. At this point, I would love the singers and the musicians to come up. I'd love to sing a chorus that was on my heart as I was preparing this message the other week. And so I just want to share with you, and I hope and pray that as we worship the Lord with this song, that maybe you want to come forward and get a touch from the Lord, get a fresh anointing on your spirit, and I pray that that will be in your heart. Don't be fearful, don't be afraid, because Jesus is here to freshly anoint you with the Holy Ghost, with power. Amen. And so the song that I would love us to sing, if we can just stand and sing, Anoint Me with Fresh Oil. Hallelujah. This is a song that came into my heart as I was preparing, and I'd love us to really sing it this morning in worship to the Lord. I am so aware of his presence here this morning. I am so aware that he's desirous to touch you, that you'll go away with this meeting with a fresh anointing of his power to go out and minister and touch the lives of others who are suffering because of the enemy's touch, work upon their lives. So let us rise and sing this lovely song this morning. Anoint me with fresh oil.
Anoint me with fresh oil.